everybody. Welcome back to the show. If you're just rolling out of the rack, welcome to it. 7:10 here on a rainy Wednesday morning. Had some early morning showers. We're not supposed to arrive until mid-afternoon, but depending on where you are in the city this morning, may be raining right now, may have rained already, or you may be sitting and you're looking outside and it's completely dry and you go, what the hell is JR talking about? It's not raining at all. It's completely dry. That's been the story of rain throughout the summer here in Ottawa, where we've had some brief showers in some parts of the city, but never a complete drenching from west to east, it seems, anywhere. And this morning, another case of that. But again, shower should redevelop by this afternoon. Another warm day on the way. 27 will be the high later on. Humidex at 31. And right now sitting at 18 degrees. J.R. Simmer, Bund is in for Hammer this week. Next hour, we're going to talk some football. Antoine Pruneau, safety for the Ottawa Red Blacks, also their player rep, is going to get us the very latest on what's going on with the CFL and its potential return. Just seems like it's, I don't know, it's I don't know what to think of it at this point, Simmer. I do know that Brett Lautner, who is, I believe, the CFL PA, he's the kicker for Saskatchewan, has been the most, visible person in terms of talking.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases. And he mentioned on Friday that they expected an announcement about any government assistance to come by Wednesday. That was last Friday.
Okay.
Wednesday is today.
Yeah.
But there's been no hint anywhere else, including from some sources within the government itself, to suggest that that announcement is coming today. So maybe it comes today, maybe it does. Everything is just so up in the air with this.
Yeah, it is. And again, for any of the leagues, formation of a plan, leadership, trying to pull all this together, incredible when you look at the work of, and really funny how this is tied into so many things. You got COVID, it's hard enough to pull all this off. Now you're looking for financing, which other leagues are not looking for, but then trying to ratify a CBA. Like it's a lot of moving parts here. And assumption is not that the government has its house in order, but when handing out large amounts of cash, well, I shouldn't even say that. They're probably looking for a plan from the CFL.
Yes. Oh, well, exactly. And this is where, and we talked about this yesterday, this is where it's become a bit of a catch-22, right? The government is saying, until the league and the Players Association come to an agreement, why would we give you, upwards of, 40-odd million dollars is the ask, at least.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the league is kind of going, we're not going to go to the players and try to get a deal done until we know there's going to be government money coming in. So it's kind of like you've got three different parties involved here, Players Association, league, and government. And all of them are kind of waiting for the other one to act.
Yeah, or I guess they could go on under the wing of the WE program itself. Have Margaret Trudeau come do the anthem, and here's your four. You need 50? Here's 50.
Yeah.
We're good to go.
Not only that, but you had the war of words between some players yesterday. The CFL Twitter account tweeting out workouts of players, and a lot of players, especially Red Blacks running back Brendan Galanders, saying, you know what, like, you're showing guys working out for free, but you can't meet with us Friday or Monday to discuss anything, but you're showing us working for free. So it just doesn't seem like there's going to be something getting done anytime soon between the two sides. Like, if government assistance comes by, I wouldn't be shocked if they still don't agree.
Yeah, that was him stressing the point of, because I think the one offer has been, hey, if you're going to play six games out of an 18-game season, that's a third, so you're going to get a third of your salary. And they're like, well, hang on now. You know, there's more to being a football player than just playing games. You know, you are working out, you are getting ready for a year for, you know, for a lot of these guys, it's a year-round thing. So you can't just pay me for the games.
Yeah.
You know, in many cases, even if you didn't work out year-round, you've been working out for a number of months now and not getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
So the Players Association's position on it is, hey, if we're only going to play six games, I would think a compromise, it would appear to me, and I'm on the outside looking in, 50% pay for a third of the games, I think maybe gets it done, but that's just me. Maybe that's too simplistic.
Yeah, and for me, if you want to get kicked out of your practice facility, we're paying someone to train you, and you actually have a place to go work out where most athletes don't go. Like, come on, man. Like, who are you kidding here? And hey, working out, you can get into a bit of an argument. Most professional sports athletes are not paid in the off season. You should be thankful that you're being put into that position. I'm just saying that could be the other side where you might show up today and there'd be a lock on the door. You know, I'm showing up and working out for free. You're using my facility. We don't even know if there's going to be a season, and I'm assuming that I'm paying staff to be there.
Well, I don't know. I stand to be corrected. Bundy, you might know this. Are all of the Red Blacks players working out in the facility?
Not all of them, but I do know some are.
Yeah. But they're not being mandated is my point, Bunda. That's a big difference. This is an absolute... You should be so thankful as an athlete that you've actually got a place to go. That's the way a management group would look at this. Not, oh, I'm training for free. Man, hey, be thankful. You, as a professional athlete, a lot of guys have nowhere to go to train.
Yeah, I know a couple are working out at local fields, especially Sherrod Baltimore, Abdul Khanna, who, like, they're free agent signing this year. They have been working out at local fields just in the Ottawa area. But I do believe that Brendan Gallander's, a couple of the guys have been, whoever it is, at the facility. I'm not sure exactly how many, but
right.
It is something that I think is available. But for, I guess a lot of it is not even, like you say, some are working out for free, but just working out and not getting paid.
Hey, when guys come into the summer now, Ottawa Senators say they might set up some housing. Nobody is getting paid. When you come from a camp, you get room and board, you know, and again, these are young professional athletes, but still, that to me is something that's being provided by the club that is putting you hopefully in a position to earn more money. And in the world we're living in right now, luxury is a strong word, but I would be just very thankful that I've got a facility to go to if I'm a player.
All I know is the clock's ticking. The clock is ticking on them to get a deal and get some semblance of a season in. We're almost at the 1st of August now. Football, and I don't want to say the hockey is easy, but they're at a 2-week training camp, an exhibition game, boom. They're starting their playoffs as early as Saturday. I don't think you're doing that in football, right?
No.
There's so much, more to it than that, you know, if you're starting, even if you came to a deal here this week and you're starting, and by the time you get guys in from the States and quarantining and everything else that's going to be going on, like, you know, you're pushing things further and further back. If they're going to eventually play in games in Winnipeg, well, you're not pushing that back into January, right? There is a sort of a soft deadline to get something done. It's cold in Winnipeg. Absolutely.
Hey, listen, we want to avoid college football. We want to avoid the NFL. We're going to look to kick this bad boy off New Year's Day. The Arctic Bowl.
Steal from bowl season.
January, February, March.
So we'll look forward to getting the very latest on what's going on with the CFL with Antoine Pruneau, the Red Blacks, is scheduled to join us coming up after 8. Speaking of local sports, by the way, it looks like this afternoon at 1 o'clock, we're going to hear at long last the details on what's going to be going on with the CPL, the Canadian Premier League, the soccer league, which, of course, Atletico Ottawa is an expansion team this year. So this has been talked about for a number of weeks. An announcement was imminent. I think maybe even 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had said, okay, this is probably what's going to happen. Today or tomorrow didn't happen. Stops and starts. Latest is today, and they have officially called a news conference or at least an announcement to make an announcement at 1 o'clock this afternoon. It looks very much like they're going to do like the CEBL is doing and the MLS. They're going to do a tournament. It sounds like it'll likely be in PEI in Charlottetown.
Oh, nice.
Probably to begin looking kind of mid-August to a mid-September. Again, there's with Ottawa being in on the league now, there's 8 teams.
Yeah.
So in all probability, you'll play a 7 game round robin, and as far as how it would work from there, maybe the top 6 teams or whatever would make the playoffs, something like that. But about a month-long tournament is what they're potentially looking at and perhaps to be announced as soon as 1 o'clock this afternoon.
What in a 90-minute soccer match, JR, what is kind of, the World Cup of Soccer, is it every 4 to 5 days that you play? Like, you're not like the other sports where you play back-to-back?
Yeah.
So you mentioned a month. So you have 7 games, so almost every 4 days you'd be out there?
I think something like that. And then a playoff. And a playoff would involve, even if you did 6 games, so you'd have a quarter, a semi, and a final.
Yeah.
At max, you're doing 10 games, right?
Wow.
If you for a couple of the teams.
Could I do the play-by-play out there? Because I know you're not going to be able to go anywhere, but lobster is just everywhere right now. You're selling them for $5. Like I could load up on clam chowder, lobster, a little bit of mussels.
Clam chowder.
A little clam action just for a full month. What a beautiful spot to be.
It would be. So that is the rumor that's been out there, that that's what they're looking at, is a hub city thing, perhaps on the East Coast. So, again, we're to find out as soon as this afternoon, 1 o'clock, the official announcement from the Canadian Premier League about what they've got planned for a summer tournament coming up. All right, 7:19, let's take you back to Toronto last night as exhibition hockey got underway. Game between the Leafs and the Habs. Toronto got the goal scoring started early, 33 seconds in. And then this is the final goal of the night.
Hyman trying to drive the net, now looks for the drop pass. Shot! Scores! Morgan Rielly jumping into the rush.
There you go. Joe Bowen with the call on the Leafs radio network of Morgan Rielly's goal. He also had two assists, 3-point night for the Leafs defenseman, and the Leafs win it by a score of 4-2. What was your kind of, we talked a little bit about the Montreal power play being 0-for-6 and giving up two shorties. What were your overall thoughts on how the Leafs looked last night?
I thought pace of the forward group was pretty good. A little bit more attention to detail on defense. But it was more just looking at that group and wondering how they would execute the immersion of some players to it. But no, I like Toronto. Certainly, when you look at that offensive group up front, how it is. And for a guy like Morgan Rielly, who had been kind of run into the ground, JR, and to me the previous year should have won the Norris Trophy, he may have been the best player on the ice last night. And all the injuries he's battled to get himself into a spot, what could be a long run here, could be big for the Leafs, because as I said, he was just outstanding last night.
Not sure if you guys noticed either, but no goal horn on that goal. So it went from goal horn that was delayed on the first goal to they must have decided, hey, dude, they're the away team.
Yeah.
They don't get goal horns.
It took him until the fourth goal to figure that out because the first goal was delayed because he was unsure of whether to hit it or not. Then the Kerfoot goal, which they didn't know was in or not, that one was also a delayed goal horn.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the fourth goal, the last goal, which was clearly in the net, he had gone, as you mentioned, Simmer, maybe had taken the Leaf jersey off at that point and has taken his finger off.
Or he was removed.
Well, you know what, and as you do these first night, I wonder if the NHL communication or, you know, people from the TV side are sitting down and saying also, like I go out to LA and here in Ottawa, every, I guess, building has its noise it makes, but a lot of them have a goal song, and there's nothing cooler than being in LA and they play that song, We Love LA, and the crowd gets going. I would think just the presentation, even the way the broadcast comes across, but just for the players themselves, I think each team should have a goal song, and I think you just fire that up. Now, does that become a bit repetitive? I'd give it a try at least, because there's just a little something missing, and I know this is rare time, but that would be my only critique to kind of what they're doing right now.
I know at one point, and again, you just sort of twig onto these things when you hear them. The Leafs, of course, have that Hall & Oates song that they play every time they score a goal, right? I think it only got, and maybe I'm wrong, somebody can correct me if you're a Leaf fan and watched that last night, that they played that song at least once, but maybe not every time after a Leaf scored the goal. And again, so your point being that you think no matter who is the so-called home team in any of these upcoming playoff games, for all the teams, home or visitors, you get your goal song, you get your horn, or whatever it is that the sound that emanates after you score a goal.
Yeah, I think it's just a bit of a rallying thing. Make it fun for the guys. These are neutral sites. Like, this is set up by the National Hockey League. You had the Montreal Canadiens in the Toronto dressing room yesterday. So, yeah, I think that'd be fun for the players. Hey, no reason not to have it. I mean, these are as neutral as you could possibly ask for the way things are set up.
All I know is that we need this if there's a penalty. There we go. That was all that was missing from last night's broadcast. Is that from World Juniors?
Yeah. And if you go to the Czech Republic, I mean, it's such a fun place, and they're so progressive in their music. We got to find the person that was in charge of putting this thing on, right?
Hey? Well, somebody signed off on it. Sure. I got a text here from Jaylay, who writes, "Good morning, guys. All I can say is, how can you let in two shorthanded goals in a game and go 0-for-6 on the power play? Montreal needs to rethink the lineup.
Yeah.
I now remember why I didn't watch many Habs games this year. Hashtag upset Habs fan."
Yeah.
That's from Jaylay.
Well, and if you watched it yesterday, and this had been, I think Kirk Muller was under a lot of fire for the power play. They don't have anybody, JR, on the back end that basically sets the table. You got Shea Weber. Hey, I got the big bomb. I'm over here. Set me the one-timer. Bringing the puck up ice. They have not had anybody since PK Subban. They thought Victor Mete was going to end up being that. They're trying Suzuki as a forward on the point, and then they end up being just too small. They can't crowd the net. They're easily kept to the outside. Now, they do present a lot of speed. And also, hey, we'll see if things kind of get going a little bit, because they certainly have the skill, but I just don't think they have the makeup. And again, another decision for Claude Julien, what you may try with Suzuki on the point when all of a sudden you're getting in against the Pittsburgh Penguins and Malkin and Crosby are out there pressuring the young fella. Are you going to have, you know, your fallback is going to put another defenseman out there. Next thing you're going to see Petrie with Weber.
Yeah. Listen, I got all kinds of time for Suzuki, though. He's a terrific looking prospect.
That
little
little pass he made last night on that one goal, that was pretty sweet.
No, just how confident you have to be to want to play. That takes for a young player as a forward to be back there, to have the confidence to make the plays, to walk the line, and not be nervous about being stuffed and all of a sudden giving up a breakaway, that's all. But no, his play this year, and if you measure in essence of what they were able to get from the Pacioretty trade with Suzuki versus what Otto got with Stone, and the year they end up having, no, tougher for a defenseman, but I've been nothing. And we had a chance to see Suzuki in the playoffs the year before with Guelph, right? I mean, yeah. Hey, this guy is, no, that was a really nice pickup by Montreal.
Jesperi Kotkaniemi got in the game last night, picked up an assist, had a shot on goal. Any kind of thoughts on what you saw or didn't see from him?
Just okay. All the hype coming out of the training camp. I think that for them, they just have to make a reset. I certainly, if I'm Montreal, I'd play him in the series against Pittsburgh. But man, JR, they got to stay the course with this guy. You know, if he puts in the work and had a bit of a reset last year after maybe letting off the gas, he's going to be an outstanding player. Do I think in the last 4 months that he's become a man? I mean, his issue is he's still a boy. He just got to be really patient with him. So I thought he was just okay. We'll see against Pittsburgh. But like I say, down the road, this guy's going to be a real nice player if they do it properly.
Yeah, we talked in the first hour a lot of the television broadcast time spent last night when talking about the Leafs, about Nick Robertson, still 18-year-old, doesn't turn 19. He was actually born on 9/11, September 11th, 2001, all the days to be born. So he only made last year's draft by 4 days. He was one of the very youngest players in the draft, had a terrific year with Peterborough. The Leafs brought him in. They dressed him last night, and he got an assist. He was buzzing all over the ice. He's got all kinds of speed. He's not shy. Kind of reminds me a little bit of when we saw Alex Formanton in terms of his ability to get in on the forecheck, lay the body a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, looks like a more natural goal scorer for sure, and not as long and lean as Formanton is. But just in terms of, I like it when young guy, because sometimes when a guy gets in on the forecheck, he's a young guy, and he doesn't, you know, the guy gets dishes the puck, he'll kind of swing past him and not lay the hit in because you're thinking, it's, you know, I think the mentality is it's not my place.
Yeah.
I'm just starting in the NHL. I like guys that go in your first NHL game and you hit a guy.
Oh, and hey, what coach does not tell you every time, especially as a young player, finish your checks. And you get into any series and you want to, hey, if you've got Seth Jones and Werenski out there together and they're playing 30 minutes, well, a big difference. And we saw this is why St. Louis won the Stanley Cup last year. Start to pressure these guys. Just rub them out a little bit. Or even if you just slow them down, that extra work that you're creating. And he with Kerfoot and Kapanen, not the biggest bunch, but boy oh boy, all three of those guys can really motor. And Kerfoot end up with a couple of goals and a nice start to him, and a really nice story of, hey, I didn't really think about him until the World Junior and people started talking about him, the 53rd pick last year, with a team that will have salary cap issues. He may never see a day in the American Hockey League. He might be a full-time NHL player.
Absolutely. Yeah, got him in the mid-second round, and he's a first-round talent. Absolutely, is Nick Robertson. Now, the question is going to be, all the teams in their one exhibition game were allowed to dress one extra forward and one extra D. So Toronto did the same last night. So one of the forwards addressed last night is going to have to sit. So the question is, did you see enough from him last night that you want to start him in the playoffs, or does he become an X factor kind of player where, you know, you let him sit for game one, and if you get behind the eight ball and you lose that opening game and you're looking for something to, a little shake up to the lineup, hey, let's bring the kid in for a game two.
Yeah, no, I would end up having him out. I'd probably have to go through their forward group, though. There's one thing we'll say with the Toronto Maple Leafs when healthy. There's a lot of depth there. So, hey, do you want to sit out a veteran player?
Well, it sounds like it's either him or the GOAT, Freddie Gauthier, right?
And you know what? I'm not a mega fan of the GOAT, but in a series against a team like Columbus, I may end up need a little bit of the size and a little bit of the sandpaper. So, yeah, healthy discussion. And I thought that was neat because at the World Juniors and some of the events you'll go to, you know, teams used to dress all the time, as many as 13-8 when you go to some of the international events. I wouldn't have a problem with the National Hockey League expanding the roster that way, too. I think the quality of the hockey after a layoff, to have 13-7 wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah, a little crowded on the bench last night. I think you said there were certainly no social distancing last night on the bench. Yeah. They were scrunched in pretty tight.
I watched Kuba, who came here. I was at a tournament in Finland, JR, way back. Part of this I remember because there was a real serious eye injury with one of the Swedish players back in the day. But it was a four-team tournament. He dressed as the eighth defenseman of the Czech Republic along with another fella. Yeah, and he had a blanket on the whole game. He never got on the ice. I still remember that. He had his blanket because it was cold. Yeah. We were in Helsinki and it was one of those like low local rinks, and I just thought, man, you got to dress. That's okay, you know. But you're hanging around. Got the real, you know, the nice thick blanket, right? Not nothing thin there. Just a real good one.
Were you surprised? And I don't know that I was surprised, but interested to note that none of the coaches or the assistant coaches wore masks behind the bench. The trainers all did. The equipment staff, whoever else is on the bench with them,
all did.
But none of the assistants or the coaches did.
I'm going to assume that from the public health side, that if I'm within a bubble and everybody has tested within your group negative, that the comfort level for everybody to interchange, they're not being contaminated by anybody else. So,
but I'd say the same thing about the trainers then, right? Like, why are the trainers wearing a mask and the coaches aren't?
Yeah, that's a great point. And the trainers for many years, probably going back to what HIV started, wearing the gloves.
Yep.
That's a real good point. I'm not sure why that would be then. But yeah, as I said, that was kind of my thought. Hey, if you the comfort is you're within the bubble, I don't know from the trainer's side, would that be the worry that if they had to go on the ice to help with the opposing team, that there would be any difference?
I'm guessing the reasoning is that coaches, both the head coach and the assistants, are shouting instructions, and then a mask is going to inhibit your voice. There's no doubt about that. Your ability to kind of yell instructions would be muted somewhat. But again, everything is done with, as they say, an abundance of caution in all of these cases. And I'm not being critical of it. I noted that last night. I think I had expected that was going to be the case.
Well, weren't we even talked about initially that they were going to be up behind the bench, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be a couple of rows up. And at the end of the day, JR, do I also think there's a bit of that old school mentality of not wanting to look foolish, of having a mask on and you're behind the bench? It's communication. I think you could do it for some of the players, and for my teacher in grade school who was a smoker and had really bad breath, there's probably some players that would prefer it, because there's the odd time that the coach leans down and gives you a little instruction. You're like, man, you should have went a little easier on the garlic today at the pregame meal.
Get the dentine going, please.
And for what would Coach Smitty do? He'd have to do like water boy. Like, he'd have to have he'd have to wear the harness, right?
Yeah.
Because he'd be wanting to get the H2O going all the time.
The big buckets with the glasses on either side.
And would the mask move up and down over his eyes when he's chewing the gum?
Yeah, that's true.
That's an issue.
There's a lot of movement going on there. So that was one of the things. The other thing, and we talked about this in the first hour, the fact that they'd taken the netting down, I had not read that anywhere.
Yeah,
and just kind of noticed it halfway through the game. We'll have certainly no controversies over, hey, was that puck was in the netting and then nobody saw it. And I know it's all can be overturned by replay anyway, but the puck ended up in the net, so we'll have none of that. There's no fans to protect, so it makes sense to take it down.
Well, it actually probably was never put up. I mean, when you go to most buildings in a busy building like the ACC, and Edmonton's actually very busy, I mean, the hockey rink and the glass and stuff is taken down all the time. So it's like, hey, tuck it away. I've gotten used to it. We've all gotten used to it for years. I think the first time I saw it was in Stockholm, Sweden, and I sat behind a Jared a couple of games, and it really took a long time to get used to, and the different mesh that you have. Hey, there's no doubt when you look at the building itself and kind of the optics of it, to me it looks a whole lot better as far as presentation.
So we saw three games yesterday. The Flames lost 4-1 to the Oilers. That was the late game. McDavid had two goals there. Flyers over the Penguins 3-2 in overtime. I think the early game actually wasn't even available on television. I know you watched a little bit of the late game as well. What were your kind of overall takeaway on the level of hockey we saw on night one?
Oh, I thought it was fine. You watch the pace and you just understand that most of these guys, this is an old school where for 4 months they were sitting around drinking beer and kind of trying to get back into camp. These guys are world-class athletes. Most of them would have found a way to train, would have had a setup in their house. They're ready to rock and roll. Big advantage early on, I think, will be the forward groups. How's the National Hockey League going to do this? The defenders are going to have a tough time. And my critique probably is much on Freddie Anderson, but I could just feel with the goaltenders and even on Carey Price, hey, do I really need to pull my groin moving across on this one, or do I save it for the Pittsburgh series? So I'll be curious as we kick off on Saturday as to where the goaltenders are at. To me, it looks like there's an advantage to the forwards.
All right. Your thoughts always welcome. Text us at 12-1200. You can tweet at us at TSN 1200. Phone line's always open at 750-1200. And again, we'll talk to Tony Marinaro, hosts the Midday Show on TSN 690. Always has an opinion or two. We'll get to Tony's thoughts on last night's performance by the Habs and a look ahead to his thoughts on the Penguins and Habs, which starts Saturday. Tony Marinaro joins us after 9 right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. No, player rep for the Ottawa Redblacks will join us. Get the latest, hopefully, from Antoine, as much as he knows at least, on the ongoing attempts to get a CFL season underway at some point. Couple of texts at 12-1200 have come in. As always, when you text us, standard messaging rates apply. From Carp, this is going to be a much different Stanley Cup playoff. Very offensive this year. Not very much defense because of the lack of play, it says here. I'm guessing exhibition play from Carp.
Yeah, I don't know, Carp. A little theory, maybe, in a condensed playoff. How do you feel in the play-in round? When we get into round one, at what point are some of the guys going to hit the wall? You know, I don't know. I think the offensive or the forwards might have a bit, but I do think we might hit a spot in certain series where neither team can pull a whole lot of pace, similar to what we realistically saw with St. Louis and Boston last year.
Right. On the TV presentation broadcast last night, I think it was Anthony Stewart said, showed examples of guys during, breaks. I'm guessing television timeouts were... They're kind of huffing and puffing, and he makes the point of, hey, it'll take a game or two, and then these guys will kind of be up to game speed, as it were. Do you believe in that, or might it take longer for some?
Well, no, JR, first of all, you never get into shape if you're not. And that you're, people would think, oh, you show up. You know what? If you're not, you're in trouble. It's really going to be, and remember we had Joel Quenneville on in the shortened season. They had a plan right off the hop to manage the minutes. Remember that was the year that Emery played a bunch of games? They wanted everybody fresh for the playoffs. I got to think with your depth in either sending players in and out, but managing your minutes on certain players where, hey, for Seth Jones and Werenski, if you played them 30 minutes and knock off Toronto, would you have anything left if you have to face Boston the next round, right? Like that part, I've got to think, even for the world-class athletes, is going to catch up to them to some extent.
Let's see here. Text from Unsigned. I agree that last night's TV presentation and sound was great. Night and day with the baseball broadcast with no fans. You still heard the intensity of the skating and the sticks hitting the ice. That comes from Unsigned. Yeah, I thought overall, they tried some things. They can put cameras anywhere now. There's no fans in the stands. And they tried to experiment with a few things. And, we're Canadians. We like our hockey broadcasts, our camera angles to be kind of the tried and true. And I never mind that sometimes they'll fall in love with new technology. But overall, I think my takeaway just from the way the game sounded, They did put in some artificial sound. There's no doubt about that. In fact, I think the audio guy left it up during the moment of silence for Eddie Shack. Probably could have pulled it down at that point, but small point. Just overall, there was sort of some ambient sound, and you could hear the players saying things, but it wasn't clear enough where you could make out the myriad of F-bombs that or maybe they were just on their best behavior.
Well,
I
also just think consciously as hockey players, Canadians, whatever, it's silence and the way you act even. Now, we'll get to the playoffs. There are going to be a few of them, but I don't think that's going to be all the crazy. And what you also saw last night, JR, certainly important to get on the ice, get the feel. Practicing with your own guys is never the same. It's a real game, but it's also, to me, a mental dress rehearsal for everybody involved and just, okay, got to get my head around on, okay, I'm going to have a little bit of music for warm-up. We're going to have an anthem. We're going to start a game. How does this end up feeling? And I think some of that shock and probably just in a positive way with the presentation and knowing that, hey, these games are still televised. There's still a lot of people at home watching. I think this would have been a nice mental exercise for the players to go through last night.
Five more exhibition games today, including the nightcap involving the other two Canadian teams, which will be around for the play-in series. Vancouver will play Winnipeg. That is the late game tonight. All right, 7:45. A reminder, we're up and running at tsn1200.ca for the first of three TSN 1200 majors pool. We've got set up online, tsn1200.ca, presented by our friends at Royal LePage Team Realty. It follows the same protocols we have for all our other majors pools. Pretty simple. We've got a series of nine different groups of six players each. They're all of somewhat like ability. Not like abilities in whether you like them or hate them, but ability in terms of how they can play the game or where they're at right now with their game. Your job is to select one player from each of the nine categories, and if your collective team has a lower score than anybody else, you win the grand prize. This time, we're going to give our grand prize winner a Google Home. So you can just plug that bad boy in, and that's how you listen to TSN 1200 at home.
Exactly.
Say, hey, Google, turn on TSN 1200, and you don't have to fiddle. You don't even have to touch anything. Now you just say it, and it'll play the radio station at home. So that's what our grand prize winner is going to win, their very own Google Home, valued at $130. So get yourself registered at tsn1200.ca. You can make your picks And by the way, if you make your picks and you decide to change your mind or somebody drops out because the tournament doesn't start until next week, you can go in and change your picks. All right. So there's no harm in making your picks now, or you can wait. But again, the deadline to enter is next Thursday at 8 a.m. as the PGA Championship will kick off in San Francisco.
Yeah, and should be fun. I'd say, well, power ranking in a normal year, that would definitely be fourth for me. Always love a U.S. Open, always love a British Open. And as the calendar goes and we get to the fall, and boy, if you're a Toronto fan and you got your Jays going and Raptors and Leafs, and they're all playing well into the fall, would be fun. But I think this is pretty cool the way the golf is going to lay out. And I'm actually pretty pumped to see the Masters in November. I think that's going to be really neat.
There's almost going to be, and after 4.5 months of having pretty much nothing, I don't want to say there's too much sports on TV, but, you know, some people are going to have to make some hard decisions here coming up within the... Now, the NHL playoffs is huge for everybody. We know that, and that starts on Saturday. I think the NBA sort of ending its regular season, there's going to be a lot of what will turn out to be meaningless games, especially as we get into the second week. Like, each of the teams is playing between 6 and 8 games.
Yeah.
By the time we get to the final 2 or 3 games, there's going to be a lot of games that won't mean anything at all. So NBA playoffs doesn't really start until kind of mid-August. By that time, you're going to be into probably the end of round one of the NHL, maybe even into round two. So you got that going on. You mentioned you know, the golf majors. We got the PGA will be done, but the U.S. Open is coming up in early September. The Masters in November. Major League Baseball will hopefully, fingers crossed, still be continuing. We'll see what happens with the Miami Marlins, etc. And then we got all the other sports going on, including UFC. Big card announced yesterday for October. Bunda, finally, the one everybody's been waiting for, right?
Yeah, Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Justin Gaethje. Lightweight bout.
Yeah. What's your early call?
Oof.
Now, Khabib hasn't fought since, what, last year?
Yes, and his father has just passed due to COVID-19 stuff as well, so it's been a little bit of a... It's because of Ramadan for him. He fights usually twice a year, and just due to everything that happened, it got pushed, and there were a lot of complications, and then they went out and bought Fight Island, but before that, he was ready to fight. He got sent to Russia and then was going to go to wherever. It was just a big mess, and now it all worked out. They ended up having Justin Gaethje slide in there, fight Tony Ferguson for the interim belt. Now it's going to happen, and it's going to be probably one of the best fights of the year. And I'm a big Gaethje guy, but it's going to be a real close call. So, oh, man, I'm going Gaethje so far now.
Wow.
Yeah, I am. It's been a little while for Nurmagomedov, so I think he's going to have a little bit of rust.
Well, we will find out. October 24th, is that the date?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, there you go for whatever UFC number it ends up being. But that was announced yesterday by Dana White. So, again, yeah, we got a plethora of things coming up here in the world of sports over the next few months.
Not only that, too, but with the NFL, right? If they end up starting on time, right? If they start in September or not, there's been rumors that their first 4 weeks you can move. So that way you start...
Or cancel.
Or cancel, but I think they were saying you can move them to the end of the schedule if possible. And then you start with, I think the first game would be the Bucks versus the Bears on Thursday night, but early October. I think that would do everybody a favor, just watching sports.
Yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know what? People have been jonesing for
September's
this.
September's gonna be nuts.
A long, long time. And September, the best of times, is one of the great times, right? Because you usually you're counting down the end, the baseball pennant races, getting toward the playoffs, and obviously the NHL regular season would normally begin in October. That's always an annual web poll question, too, right? What's the best time of year? Is it April? Or is it kind of that late September, early October? And usually it ends up being split 50-50. This year we get everything. We get everything is happening coming up.
Oh, and even, man, we don't mention a whole lot. What's going to happen with college football and how ginormous that is. Jarrus, you watched the hockey last night, and you'd have to look at the numbers. But when you do look at the revenue, and depending on what NBC has as far as a relationship, wherever in the United States going forward, if the dollars go to the right amount and this is presented properly, if there's a void in the sports schedule, do you see the National Hockey League kicking off in December and January without fans?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because
if this goes really well from a rating standpoint.
Yeah, yeah. It's, well, because everybody has talked about, what is it? Is it at least 40%, if not 50% of revenues, though, it comes through fans being at games, right?
Yeah.
Can they afford to do it for a full, potentially a full season, or at least starting a season? It was interesting, the president of the NBAPA yesterday, I think it's Michelle Roberts is her name, she mentioned that, hey, the NBA may have to do a bubble for the entire season next season.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. That's the first time anybody has talked about next season potentially being like, and you know, Now we're just talking about in terms of the NHL just playoffs for, you know, a couple of months, two to three months. You're talking about doing an entire season potentially in a bubble. That's a, that's an entirely new thing.
Yeah, and more was the thought that you'd have a normal schedule, but then now you're going to start to involve the traveling around. You're going to have traveling in and out of the country. Chances are the Canadian government wouldn't allow it, so probably wouldn't make. But I just yesterday came off probably for me as good as it possibly could in that if NBC said, listen, let's get a new deal in place now. We've got a major void here. Let's start showing some games and let's try to move forward. But yeah, probably. Well, let's see where the world is at. But I guess to the point of what I was hoping or thinking, felt pretty good where the National Hockey League's put itself after last night.
Yeah, I see where an official with the World Health Organization had just announced this morning that as opposed to kind of this first wave and then a second wave down the road, kind of late year, now they're just. And again, this is them talking. They're just saying, hey, this is just going to be one giant wave that probably isn't going to have a dip at any time. And what sort of impact is that going to have on the way that, that you know, governments act and the world of sports takes its lead from what governments allow and don't allow?
Well,
so how does that impact all of that?
Yeah, in the United States, it's certainly state by state. And here in Canada, some things, the Jays were decided by the federal government. How much of a sway in the mentality is going to come November 3rd, depending on who's in the White House?
Yeah, great point. All right, 7:52, we'll take a break. When we come back, Blue Jay fans, the day you've been waiting for, Nate Pearson makes his MLB debut tonight. We'll hear from him next on TSN 1200. Get back on the ice whenever that may be. It's a little about today, but it's a lot about tomorrow. And that's kind of, I think, where Blue Jay fans are at as well. The excitement about today, but the promise of tomorrow as the players already on the team we're seeing what they can do. But players that are just coming into the big leagues here, onto the big league team and onto the scene, that's where all the excitement is. And speaking specifically, of course, of Nate Pearson, who is going to make his highly anticipated Major League debut tonight.
Yeah, I felt like I put myself in the best position to break with the team. And obviously they wanted to start me on the taxi squad, and that's just what they thought of doing, whether there's more to that or not. That's all I know. And I was just excited to hear the news that I had the sixth game of the season, and that's all I was focusing on.
Yeah, and the reason, by the way, he didn't pitch in week one has everything to do with the Major League service time. Essentially, by sitting him out for the first week of the year, the Blue Jays will maintain control of him for a full season.
Yeah.
That's the way that service time has always worked, much to the chagrin, I think, of the players and the Players Association, but that's the way it's been done.
Yeah.
And he kind of sidestepped the question yesterday when asked about that. Yeah. But the Blue Jays, he's 23, about to turn 24, I think it is. They've got him under team control until he's 29 years old, so they're going to get the best of Nate Pearson.
Yeah, and up to management to manage the asset. You've did that. Did it with Vladdy Jr. A lot of the star players in MLB go through it. That was what was collectively bargained. And for Jays fans to Sens fans, it's also part of the process, as you say, JR, but when you look at the high school draft at times or the 18-year-old hockey draft, it's a patience. Unlike the NBA or the NFL where, hey, right away, not that all of them turn out, but as soon as they're drafted, they're coming right in. A lot of them have opportunity to play, and you're at least to the cycle with the Jays and the Sens, you're just starting to see some of that, right? You've got the Tkachuks and the Shabbats, you got the kids in Belleville, and now with the Jays, you don't have all these kids on AAA, and you're following Vladdy Guerrero playing in New Hampshire and hitting a home run in some small park, right? Like, you got a little bit of meat on the bone now that I think for baseball fans, for Jays fans, that's why the 60-game season is so great. There's nothing more you could ask for. You're not looking at every win and loss. You're just wanting to see some of the young talent.
Meanwhile, for the Jays on the field, the Jays that are with the team right now, another win last night. They beat the Nationals by a score of 5-1. Vladdy Guerrero, you mentioned him, just he had a home run last night. So did Lourdes Gurriel. So that's, six home runs, I think, in the last two games. Now 3-2, and again, it's Nate Pearson and Max Scherzer tonight. This is the Blue Jays' quote-unquote home debut, home opener for them tonight. But a 6 o'clock first pitch, and a lot of excitement to see what Nate Pearson brings to the table in his Major League debut. All right, some texts at 12-1200. Is the ambient sound we heard during the TV broadcast added in the arena so the players can hear, or is it just in the studio for TV broadcasts only? That's what we talked about that in the first hour. The answer is I don't know.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to find that out. If you're a player, Simmer, and if you're a coaching staff, would you want to hear, and we're not talking about you know, incessant clapping, but just something, sort of a background noise or whatever that lets, you know, some kind of a buzz in the building. Do you want to hear that?
No, I would say no, because, again, that's not kind of what you grew up on. I just would like, hey, when the goal scored, give me my home horn, give me my goal song, anything else is silence. The way I have interpreted it is two things, and whether this is right or wrong, I felt like in watching the baseball game yesterday that was being piped into the stadium, the way it come across in the TV broadcast, I felt like that was filtered noise through my TV. But that was just my interpretation. But I don't think for the players, you know what? Yeah, I was always surprised at NBA games how much music and stuff was going on actually during the play, including piping in the defense and all the other things.
Yep.
So I don't, you know, and with a helmet on, you get playing and stuff. I don't think you even notice. And the fact that these games are real, I don't think it would have any effect on the athletes.
Unsigned writes, kind of disappointed the Pens Flyers game wasn't aired yesterday. Will the early games be on TV today? I think they announced last night that three games are going to be on today, including one at 4 o'clock. The game involving the two Canadian teams that haven't played yet, Vancouver, Winnipeg. I know that game is the late game tonight. So,
yeah
they're going to listen. There's an appetite. If there's an appetite for it, and there clearly is, then they're going to show the game. So,
are they, as far as Rogers and Sportsnet, JR, if a Jays game is on, it's going to fill all your channels. They're not going to show two American teams ahead of that, would they? Or, well, I shouldn't say that. In the exhibition games, like for yesterday, you know, they're not going to show Philadelphia versus Pittsburgh if they've got the opportunity to use some of their own programming.
Yeah. I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know how it all works. I have the NHL package.
Yeah.
I actually went to the NHL package yesterday to, you know, to see whether the game was on there, and it wasn't.
Yeah, my mine had a little message. It didn't say
season on pause.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm like, didn't I pay for this?
Yeah.
But then somebody else mentioned, I just saw it mentioned on social media, and I obviously don't look at my bill closely enough, that maybe got refunded already for the games that ended up being canceled the last quarter of the season.
I do know a conversation with my good friend at Bell a few years ago. Somehow I got wrapped into the MLB package, and they told me that I had bought it. And then to go to the next level of, I don't lose my temper very often, the fact the following year it was renewed because you had to call and cancel. If that's not good. That's not driving you sideways when you end up getting that message.
And that's the overlords. Right? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we need to speak to somebody.
I was so fired up to the point where the guy said, listen, we work for the same company. We're friends.
At that point, you're going, okay, friend, take that off my bill.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, 8 o'clock. We'll take a break, get you the latest news from 580 CFRA, and then when we come back, where are we at as far as the potential return of the Canadian Football League? We're going to talk to the player rep from the Ottawa Redblacks, Antoine Prunel.